Please stand up, and we'll read the scripture from Jeremiah chapter 28, which is on the back of your bulletin. And the congregation will read the verses that are bold. Jeremiah 28, verse 1. And it came to pass the same year, in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fourth year, in the fifth month, that Hananiah, the son of Azur, the prophet, which was Gibeon, spake unto me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priests and all the people, saying,
Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon.
Within full 2 years, I bring again into this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried them to Babylon.
And I will bring again to this place Jeconiah, son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, with all the captives of Judah that went into Babylon, saith the Lord, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon.
Then the prophet Jeremiah said unto the prophet Hananiah, in the presence of the priests, and in the presence of all the people that stood in the house of the Lord.
Even the prophet Jeremiah said, Amen. For the Lord do so. For the Lord will hold thy words which thou hast prophesied, to bring again the vessels of the Lord's house, and all that is carried away captive from Babylon into this place.
Nevertheless, hear thou now this word that I speak in thine ears, and in the ears of all the people.
The prophets that have been before me and before thee have all prophesied both against many countries and against great kingdoms, of war and of evil and of pestilence.
The prophet which prophesieth of peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that the Lord hath truly sent him.
Then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke from off the prophet Jeremiah's neck.
You may be seated.
Only you want my buttons. Don't do that.
Our Father in heaven, we come to you thanking you for blessings that you've given to us in this country. We remember especially today those that have given their lives in the service of our armed forces. Thank you for them, for their families. We thank you for the freedoms that we enjoy here in this country. And we thank you also for the sacrifice of our Savior Jesus Christ, paying that infinite price for our salvation. And we thank you for the spiritual freedom that we have in Him, our sins being forgiven, our eternal destiny settled, and we rejoice. Given to us through Jesus Christ today. We come before you to ask for your help for this congregation. You know the needs that are among us here, and we pray that you would meet the needs, be with those who are struggling physically, those that are sick and can't be here today, those who may be traveling. We pray that you would watch over them, keep them safe. Pray for the spiritual needs that we have here. Please use your word this morning and help it to guide us and to convict us and to encourage us. We pray your blessing on our church. We thank you for Morrow Bible Church and for raising it up and for providing for it. Help us to see the ministry that we have here, each of us as believers, serving one another, worshiping you. We thank you for our elders that you've given here to this church. Pray your blessing on us as we lead and shepherd the flock here. We pray for our worship this morning. We ask that our hearts would be focused on you, that we would come and humble ourselves before you, and put aside distractions that we might focus on you. And we come today with our gifts. We pray that as we give today, that our hearts would be grateful, that we would truly recognize that everything we have is of you and that our lives are yours. And so we pray that you would accept the offerings and tithes that are given this morning. And we community. We pray that you would bless in the efforts that we have even right now this summer. We pray for those that have been able to witness and give out the gospel tracts. We pray that you would use those efforts. We know that it's not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit. And we need your Spirit to bring that conviction of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And we pray that your Spirit would move mightily here in this community. We pray that for our country as well. We know there's a great need for the gospel in this country. And we pray, even as in this past week, we've seen evil at work and those being given over to wickedness and the tragedies that is caused there. We pray for comfort for these ones, and we pray that you would get a hold of people's hearts and that they would turn to you. We pray for our President, Joe Biden. We ask that you would give him wisdom. We pray that he would also put his faith in Jesus Christ. We pray for our authorities in the state and in our community as well. We pray that they would make wise decisions. We pray for our law enforcement. We pray that you would help them to have wisdom. And we pray also that they might humble themselves before you and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We pray for the remainder of this service. We thank you that we're able to meet here freely. And we pray that our worship would be acceptable to you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to sing now off of the handout. And so, boys, do you have any more of those? Handout, Pastor Otters here. Okay, raise your hand if you need a handout. We're going to say, Lord, raise your hand out.
are going to come and sing. And then after they sing, Pastor Gossman is going to come and bring the message. I've asked him to bring the message this morning. But first we'll have Barb and Becky, and they have the same birthday, right? But different years. It's tomorrow.
Yeah.
So happy birthday in advance to them as well.
Thank you, ladies, for that message and song. What a blessing it is to know that God leads us individually in our lives. And in our message this morning, we're going to be looking at the not just individual lives, but how the hand of God is upon the nations. And we recognize that God is in charge, and he does lead us. Now, whether it was God's leading or it was the mistake of one that put in Jeremiah 28, 1 to 10. It's actually, you can turn to Jeremiah 18, 1 to 10 this morning. Actually, our natural thing is to blame it on somebody else. So I was going to blame it on Pastor Howard because I gave him the text. But then I checked my message real quickly and I saw that I put in Jeremiah 28. It's not his fault. But as I was going to get that changed before we read it this morning, and then as reading the passage, I recognized that's a passage too that illustrates God's hand upon the nations, whether it's through prophets or false prophets, but it is God knows the future, and he also has his hand upon the nations and what goes. And so I left that passage because it was an illustration of what I am wanting to speak on this morning. Jeremiah 18, the Lord came to Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, "Arise, go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, the clay is in the potter's hand. So are ye in my hand, O house of Israel." You know, as we come and we look at that, it reminds me. A few years ago, we went down to Gatlinburg. That's a place that Rob likes down there in Gatlinburg. At least he used to. I don't know, but anyway. One of the things that they have are various places where people are doing things that you don't usually see. And one of those is a potter that is making things there. And we saw there, and it's just amazing to watch the skill of them as they take a little piece of clay and they're able to form it as it's spinning on that wheel. And then we would see there amidst those things, of course, they were selling those things that were there, but there were other things that were cast aside because something happened there in the midst of it, and it wasn't what the potter had designed for it to be. I found that to be very interesting to watch that, and that's what the Lord wanted Jeremiah to see. He wanted him to see that taking place. He wanted him to see how that potter has control over what he is making, and he had an object lesson that he wanted Jeremiah to see. And here, as we look at this, we see, and as the Lord is beginning to explain to Jeremiah, he's explaining to him how he builds and he takes down nations, beginning there in verse 7. "At what instance I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instance I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build it and to plant it, if it do evil in my sight that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them." such an important lesson that Jeremiah needed to understand and then to take that message to Israel. One of the things that we come to understand is that God is sovereign over all. It's interesting in the number of passages when the Lord makes the statement that I swear by myself. There is none higher than Him. There is none over Him. If He is going to promise something, He promises on Himself. He answers to no man. God answers to no man. We hear people wanting God to answer them. Lord, you don't know what you're doing. Why did you do this? Why did you do that? Sometimes we are prone in our own selves, in our own misunderstanding, to even question that does God really know? But He does. He answers to no man. He is the Creator. He does as He wills. The potter's there making that vessel. He is determining what is going to be, what its shape is going to be, what it will be used for. I think of in Psalm 100, verse 3, at the end of that verse, it says, "It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves." How we have to understand that. He is the potter. It is He that hath made us. We haven't made ourselves. As the potter over the clay, the potter builds and he casts aside. When it is not as he original that design was, and so does God. My wife and I took a day trip down to Cambridge, Ohio. That's one of these long distance trips, right? You know, it's a couple hours, not really 2 hours, not that. But anyway, it's interesting. We went to a place where I was thinking it was a glass blowing place, and actually they do a little bit of actual glass blowing there, but they also, it was just so interesting to watch them, where they would take and heat that glass up on this bubble and take it out of the furnace, and besides the blowing in glass, which we've had, it's been interesting to watch, they would take and they would put that into forms and they put that hot glass and put it into this form and then take it out. And then and the same thing that we saw happen there when there was that which was not as it was designed to be for them to put out for sale and such, it would be cast aside and put in where it's going to be remelted and done. And so it'd be made for something else. I think we see in these verses that, and we're beginning to see that nations only exist as God wills. Nations exist as God wills, or as God allows, as He allows them to be. The good, and He allows the bad. I think we see that as we look into the history of Israel throughout the Old Testament, how there were these nations that were evil, and there were, and I think even of Egypt, that was not a godly nation, and yet God put his people there as they would grow. And you could look at that and wonder, why did God allow them to be slaves in Egypt? And yet when we see what God did, he actually saw that they all got paid. When they left, they went out with great substance because God put it into the heart of the Egyptians to give to them. And so they went out with riches, even though it appeared they were only slaves there. But that's just an illustration of how God even uses the wicked for his purposes, for his ultimate glory. When Israel would sin and go against him, oftentimes he would raise up one of these evil countries that would come in and attack them and even then would carry them off. The nations of the world exist as God allows them to exist. And ultimately, and sometimes we can't see it or understand it, but ultimately it will be for the glory of God, even as they are ultimately judged and God's purposes and plans for his people are carried out. Those are things many times we cannot understand. But in this we see how God builds and God takes down nations. As we go on in this passage in Jeremiah, we see that God warns and then he lets the nations respond. He warns and then he lets the nations respond. Verse 11. Now therefore, he says to Jeremiah, go to and speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, behold, I frame evil against you and devise a device against you. Return ye now, every one of you, from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. Jeremiah was to warn Judah. Jeremiah was to warn them there was a great evil there in their midst, and that God was determining that he was going to bring against them a device. He was going to come against them, and he warns them. He warns them to return you from your evil way and make your ways and your doings good. You know, this is such a important passage, even as we come here. We come here to Memorial Weekend, and we're here to honor those that have given their lives for our country and for our freedoms, and we see what's going on. But we recognize, you know, America has been a gift of God. It's been such a tremendous gift of God that he has given to us. And God has honored those that have come here for their religious freedoms, and it's not that all who come and they all came for the right purposes and such, but what a blessing it has been, the government and the place that God has given us. But are we responding? Do we have warnings from God from the great evil that is in the midst of our land? We are seeing a tremendous evil that is multiplying in our nation. What was the response? What was the response that we see here in verse 12 to this? This message that came to Judah for what God was determining against them unless they would turn. And they said, verse 12, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will everyone do the imaginations of his evil heart. Wow. They had no fear of God. They had no fear of God. We will do what we are going to do. We don't care what God says. Is that familiar? Is that familiar to the response of many today in our nation? I don't have to go through a list of some of the evils in our nation that we never thought would ever be in our nation. When we come to verse 13, we see the wrath of God. It says, therefore, thus saith the Lord, ask ye now among the heathen, who hath heard such things? The virgin of Israel hath done a very horrible thing. What a horrible thing for people when they have the word of God and the warnings of God and say, we will not. We will. It is we that have made us and not you, God. We will do what we want. They are forsaking God's provision. Come to verse 14. There's an interesting verse there. Will a man leave the snow of Lebanon, which cometh from the rock of the field? Or shall the cold flowing waters that come from another place be forsaken? I wondered at that verse. Usually when it talks about, the cold of snow, he's talking about the blessings that Israel had. He's talking about the blessings that Israel had. You know, Mount Lebanon, they say it goes to a height of 10,000 feet. Mount Lebanon is often covered with snow. Now, probably my daughter out in Colorado could have explained this verse to me without me having to go to the commentary to see what's going on here. Because out on the Front Range, north of Denver, they depend upon the snow of the mountains. When that snow melts, it comes down, and they have many reservoirs that have been put there so that water is there, and then they can irrigate, and that's what prospers that Front Range. It's from the snow up there in the mountains, and that's what the Lord. That's what the Lord is saying here. Are you going to abandon the provision that I have made for you? The waters that come down from the mountains, from the rock, that rock of the great, and that's a kind of a mountain range that is there in Lebanon. What does he say? Come from another place, or let it be forsaken. Yes, they were dependent upon the water from Mount Lebanon. But now in verse 15, he says, but because my people hath forsaken me, they have burned incense to vanity. They have caused them to stumble in their ways from the ancient paths, to walk in paths in a way not cast up, to make their land desolate and a perpetual hissing, that everyone that passeth thereby shall be astonished and wag his head. I will scatter them as with an east wind before the enemy. I will show them the back and not the face in the day of calamity. God was saying what's going to happen to them. You're going to forsake that land of provision that I have for you. And that land is going to become desolate. And people are going to come by and they're going to shake their head. And probably many will say, what happened to their God? Where is God? I saw one of the commentaries on the news. People were crying out with this terrible shooting out in Texas. Where is God? Where was God? They don't blame it on the evil of the land, where there is an evil that is the heart of man is desperately wicked. It is full of iniquity, desperately wicked, the heart of man. And as we turn from God, our ways become more evil. It's interesting, if you were to go over to Zechariah chapter 7, Zechariah, the Lord reminds them, Israel, during their captivity, where Zechariah speaks, and the Lord comes to Zechariah and reminds him back in Zechariah 7 and verses 12 to 14. It says, therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Therefore it has come to pass that as he cried and they would not hear, so they cried and I would not hear, saith the Lord of hosts. See, when we don't hear what the Lord has to say, then we cry and the Lord refuses to hear. But I scattered them with a whirlwind among the nations whom they knew not. Thus the land was desolate after them, and no man passed through nor returned, for they laid the pleasant land desolate. There in Zechariah, they made the statement, the Lord told them, they said, no, we will not. I think of the passage in Hebrews 10, verse 31, that says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. In those verses, we are seeing how God's hand is upon the nations. We see how God raises up and he takes down. We see how he warns and he lets the nations respond. I'd like to, in the midst of this, look at some other things in the midst of our not responding, in the midst of our response, that thinking that that we don't have to respond to God. And there's a passage in Psalm chapter 2. Psalm chapter 2. Turn there and it says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. You know, there we see a passage where nations gathering themselves against God. But the third thing I want us to see in this message this morning is that God laughs at nations' military power. God laughs at nations' military power. There's a simple verse in Proverbs 21:31 that says, the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. The Lord in Hosea, the Lord through Hosea, talks of saving without the military. You know, I make this point because are we not the most powerful nation in the world? Don't we have the most powerful military in the world? At least we're told we do. And we have, man, you know, I read with awe many times the various, there'll be a news article on some new military weapon that we have, some new plane or some new ship and some new massive thing of destruction that we have. And you know, it's so easy for us to think nobody could ever go against us. But Hosea chapter 1 and verse 7, the Lord through Hosea says this, "But I will have mercy upon the house of Judah and will save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow, nor sword, nor battle, by horses, nor by horsemen." Those were the weapons of that day. Those were the weapons that they depended upon. But the Lord says, when I save Judah, it's not going to be by those weapons. That's why I think when we see the Lord laughing there in Psalms, He laughs at the military power. We can go to the book of Amos. Really, I've been reading through some of those minor prophets in the Old Testament and just seeing again and again how the Lord dealt with the nations and such. But in Amos chapter 2, the Lord, through Amos, lets the wicked know that they won't be saved by their strength. They will not be saved by their strength. Amos 2, verse 14. "Therefore, the flight shall perish from the swift, and the strong shall not strengthen his force, neither shall the mighty deliver himself, neither shall he stand that handleth the bow, and he that is swift of foot shall not deliver himself, neither shall he that rideth upon the horse deliver himself, and he that is courageous among the mighty shall flee away naked in that day, saith the Lord." You know, I've never been worried about our destroying the world and all being annihilated by nuclear weapons. Why? Because God's given us the end of the story. I know that God has plans that are going to be carried out, and so we're not going to be annihilated. But those are awesome weapons. Those are weapons that I just can't imagine. And we've seen the kind of destruction when they have been used. But then I think, who's the creator? You know, we could depend on nuclear weapons. But God is able to cut the switch on them just as easy as He created the forces from which they made those weapons. Nuclear power before God is of... The Lord will laugh. When we see in the end time prophecy, and Pastor Howard has just had just finishing up a marvelous thing in Sunday school on the prophecies and the end times and all those things, and just to finish that. But when we see that time and when the nations come together in the end in a war against God, Satan, who is the great deceiver, is deceived to thinking that he can bring all the powers of the weapons of the world together against Christ. that battle will be over in a word. God shall laugh at the nations. You know, when we come back to Jeremiah a moment, and we go on to verse 18, or excuse me, go back to verse 8. And the Lord said, if that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instance I shall speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom to build and plant it. If it do evil in my sight, that obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good that I said I would do unto them. Certainly we have been that nation that God has built us. That God has, in His mercy, in His gracious, He has given us a marvelous nation, and He's built us up and planted us. But we can recognize that if we do evil, we go against Him. He can, you know, you often wonder why we don't see America in prophecy. I don't know. I know God could remove us as a nation. Now, seeing the end times, the way things are going, I think the Lord's coming first. I think the Lord is going to come and we're going to be gone. But the Lord's ways are not always our ways. And then, you know, when we see those end times, it looks like we're right at the moment of the coming of Christ. But it might be delayed a little bit. But where should we be there as we see in that 8th verse? If that nation turn from their evil and will repent as I sought to do unto them. You know, the Lord way back with the building of Israel, as He talked about their evil that would come in 2 Chronicles, Chapter 7 and verse 14, it's a verse we've all heard probably many times. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their evil ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Israel could have been spared from all of that that was to come, if they would have turned. But what did they say? We will not. We will do our own after the imaginations of our own heart. We'll go the way we want to go. And they were scattered and they were destroyed, to at least except for a remnant. You know, Nineveh, that wicked, evil city of Nineveh, you know, they were spared. Of course, Jonah, he wanted to see them wiped out. I mean, they were, from what we read of them, they were very wicked in Nineveh. And yet, Nineveh was spared. We see in Jonah, if you go to Jonah chapter 3, here we see the response when Jonah finally got there by a little persuasion from the Lord when he got to Nineveh and had to preach what he was supposed to preach. It says, for the word of the Lord came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne. He laid his robes from him, he covered with sackcloth, and he sat in ashes. He caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, nor herd, taste anything, let him not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hand. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw their works, and they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he said he would do unto them, and he did it not. You know, we see some of the wicked nations. I just come to my mind at the moment. We try to think, what's the worst nation I could think of? How about North Korea? I mean, we hear just about all the awfulness. And you think, boy, we'd like to see them, that evil gone. If they would turn from their evil unto the Lord. The Lord in his mercy would spare them. Oh, it's easy to think of them, but our nation is in a place that needs to repent. There needs to be a turning from God. But when we see things and we see disasters and we see pandemics and we see earthquakes and fires and things, we don't see them turning to God. We see them blaming climate change. We see them blaming this and that. But we don't see a repentance. We don't see churches being filled. I think of days in the past, and I'm reading of days in the past when some of the tragedies and things took place that people would turn and flock to the churches and cry out to God. We see a little, but we don't see that today. It is God's will that, and that is my last point there, in God, the God of mercy looks for repentance. The God of mercy looks for repentance. You see, it is His will that all repent. Second Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise. He's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I think of the 15th verse there of that chapter, account that the long-suffering of our God is salvation, even as our beloved Paul also, according to the wisdom of God given him, was written unto you. The long-suffering of as God has put up with, as God has put up with the evil and the wickedness, He's been long-suffering. He is slow to anger, and He's great in mercy. Given opportunity for us to turn from our own ways and as we look at that, we can look at the great evils around us. It's also good for us to stop and look into our own hearts. And are there any issues in our lives? Is there any issues in my life where I, in essence, have said, I will not. I will go after the imagination of my own heart. You know, the Lord wants His people. He wants His people to humble themselves and pray. He wants His people to turn from their own ways. And it's so easy for us to become complacent and think, well, God hasn't dealt with this issue in my life. I guess He's not going to. Instead of recognizing God is long-suffering, And he doesn't always move immediately like we think he ought to, but he will always do it in his own time. And that's what happens with nations. And that's what happens in the end time when God judges the nations. Well, let's just to look back over those points this morning. Let's remember that God builds and God takes down nations. Our first consideration must be our relationship with God, because He takes down and He builds up nations. And God warns and lets nations respond. So let us not take lightly the warnings of God. His being slow to wrath gives us opportunity to respond. Think of the verse, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So, and then let us not be deceived by our own nation and our massive military strength, knowing that God laughs at nations' military power. Remember, He's the creator, He's the designer of things, and He can cut the switch on anything man can invent. But let's remember that our God of mercy looks for repentance. So let us consider our sin and confess it and turn from it and flee unto the shepherd of our souls. No, we are not like others that have not. For the most part here this morning, I'd say, you know your own heart. You've not turned from the Lord, but the Lord wants us to recognize our sin and where we are going our own way. That we can be what the Lord designs for us as not just the potter, not as just the maker over nations, but the individual, as individuals in our lives as well. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word. Lord, thank You for this great nation that You've given to us. It has been a gift, a gracious gift that we have enjoyed. But, oh Lord, we must recognize the truths of what we have seen in Your Scripture today. And Lord, because You have built us up does not mean that You will not take us down. Lord, help us individually to consider any area in our lives where there is a sin against Thee, that we would turn from it and flee unto You, our Lord and our God. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Pastor.
Thank you very much, Pastor Gossman. Let's sing as we close. Number 290. Be still, my soul, the Lord is on thy side. Number 290, let's all stand as we sing. 290, be still, my soul.
Thank you. Thank you.